Welcome to More Grace, a podcast about theology, spiritual formation, and what that means for your life. We're brought to you by Grace Bible Church, a multi-site university family model church based out of College Station, Texas.
Welcome back to the More Grace podcast. I'm Matt Morton, the teaching pastor at our Creekside campus. I'm here with Amber Roberts.
Hello, and I'm a creative director here at Grace.
And we are continuing our discussion that we've been going through this whole season about how to walk by the Holy Spirit. So we have really drilled in specifically to the idea that the Spirit of God is the member of the Trinity that we really probably most actively connect with in our walk with the Lord. And up to this point, we've talked about a lot of personal disciplines, a lot of individual ways to walk with God. Mm-hmm. But what we haven't talked about up to this point is that we also walk with the Lord in a community, with other members of the body of Christ, with other Christians, so that church is also a part of how God transforms us by the power of His Spirit into the image of Jesus. So that's what we're talking about on this episode, is how we walk with the Lord together. So that's what we're going to dive into. And Amber, I know you have some questions and some thoughts that you wanted to bring up.
Yeah, absolutely, Matt. I think you put it really well. How do we, we keep saying how to walk with the Spirit. And what we mean when we say walk, it's just an active term. It's how to live by, essentially. And so how are we putting ourselves in a position where the Spirit of God can transform us moment by moment, day by day? And you're right, we've looked at things that we only do typically alone. So Or we can do alone, how we pray, how we read the Word of God, how we confess our sin. And this is great. How do we do this now in community with a body of believers, with the community of faith? If you listen to our last episode, I feel like we definitely nailed home how the body of believers can help one another walk with the Lord, live by the Spirit. So Matt actually walked me through just a situation. I confessed a sin, an insult that I had delivered to a person the day before. You helped me, Matt.
I'm so glad.
Just to think through where, not only, you didn't have to tell me that what I said was wrong. I knew that.
Right.
But what you helped me do was identify in my heart what was corrupted there.
What led
me to an action, an act of sin. But before the act of sin happened, there were thoughts and intentions in my heart that needed to be addressed. So we talked about that last time, but it really just explains how the community of faith and how as believers, we actually sharpen one another and help each other walk with the Spirit of God.
Right. So one of the things that I always think about when we talk about this topic is that it's not all that hard to be holy when I'm all alone. Where my sin is really revealed is when I'm in a room with other people who bring out aspects of my character that I might not like, that rub my rough edges in a way that causes me to respond sinfully. So let me just, when we talk about church, one of the reasons I think it's so critical for us to be engaged with the body of Christ is because people will say this all the time. Well, why should I go to church? I can pray in my room. I can connect with the Spirit of God in the forest. I can, whatever.
I can watch online.
Exactly. I can watch online. And all of those things are true, but the assumption behind those statements is that the primary goal of my spiritual life is actually that I know more, that I am fed, that only I connect with just God. But a huge part of the goal of my spiritual life is that I actually engage now with other people who help me become more like Jesus. And within the body of Christ, the Spirit of God, when we look at the Scripture, seems to be especially active in us as a group, mm-hmm. and not just in us individually, so that the way that another person responds to an insult that might convict me and cause me to think about how I respond. On the flip side, there may be things that other people do that irritate me that cause me to have to question how do I need to change in my responses to them? Mm-hmm. And so being in community actually helps and drives our sanctification. The Spirit speaks through other people.
Yeah. So the Spirit's not only active in my personal life, but as I enter into community, the Spirit is incredibly active. Absolutely. Through the body of believers and the body of Christ. And we've actually, you know, I was listening back to some old episodes. We do talk about that, I think, in maybe our it was one of the first few, but just how, you know, even in the Old Testament, you know, we saw great examples of how the Spirit came and filled a community and a group of believers, or the Israelites at this point, to accomplish something great. How much more now in this period where we as believers are constantly filled with and have access to the Holy Spirit of God.
Right. And one of the things, you know, we, in the sermon series we're going through right now, one of the metaphors for the church that we just talked about is of the temple. And I preached about how the church is the temple of God from 1 Corinthians 3. You also see that in Ephesians chapter 2. And what's interesting is I had so many people come up and they said, you know, I've always been told that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, which is true. Mm-hmm. That's biblically, 1 Corinthians 6 says that's true. But they said, I've never thought about that the church, that all of us together are the temple of God. And what's interesting is that imagery is used more often of the entire church than it is used of me. Mm. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit more often in Scripture than I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. And what that means is now that together, we're called to be a holy community, a holy people. And, you know, again, part of my sanctification process is learning how to respond to people who are very different from me, mm-hmm. who think differently, who act differently. I have certain sins in my life that affect the way I relate to people, but so do the people around mm-hmm. me as well. So let me just give you like one small illustration of that. I may walk into church and the songs that we're singing are not ones that I like naturally, but there's other people in the room who really like those songs. And so I may come in and I go, I think we should sing these other songs that I like, whether it's hymns or whatever. And somebody else goes, no, I think we should sing these other songs. Is either of us sinful in our preferences? No. But what do I learn from that discussion and dialogue? I learn how to set aside some of my preferences for the sake of another person. That's Christ-like. Right. That's what Jesus did. If I'm alone in my room, guess what I can do? I can just tune into whatever church does all the songs that exactly. I like, and I can find it, right? So I don't actually have to change. When I go to a local community, I actually have to change if I want to continually be connected with them.
That's really good. You use the word, you know, respond. Just learning how to respond to others. I think a better word is love.
Yeah.
And, you know, going back to our discussion on who is the Holy Spirit, we talked about the Trinity, how, you know, three in one, they exist in love and relationship. So just reiterating this, this walk we're talking about, this living according to the Spirit is all about relationship. It's about relationship with God through the Spirit. And it's about relationship with one another. And in that, the Spirit works even more powerfully.
That's right. Absolutely.
So let's get practical. Number one, a great question for everyone is, am I in community? You know, not only, hopefully, yes, you attend church. And I think we've just made the point to why that's powerful and meaningful. Now, how do you take that next step from becoming an attender to actually being an active participant and member of that body?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And this is going to vary depending on the church that somebody goes to. But I think one way that I just encourage people to enter the doors on Sunday or whenever your church meets with a heart and mind to get to know other people, to connect with other people. People sitting around you, the people sitting next to you, meet them, mm-hmm. get to know them, talk to them, take them to lunch, engage with people. If you go to a smaller church, that's probably easier in some respects. If you go to a larger church, then you may also have to take that next step of connecting with some sort of smaller group, whether that's during the week, or maybe your church has a smaller Sunday school class on Sunday morning. But connecting with some smaller group of people that is part of the church, people that you really can get to know on an individual level who can help you walk with the Lord. Mm-hmm. I would even say within that, though, it is beneficial to be a part of some group within the church where there are people who are not like you. And, you know, here we're in a college town, and I think one of the temptations, and I know I faced this as a college student, was to only ever be in groups with other college students who were pretty similar to me. I mean, there may have been people in the room that weren't my favorite people and vice versa, but they were pretty similar, about the same age. They came from the same type of families. They were all at the same university. I think it's helpful to also engage with those who are much older, much younger, from a different racial, socioeconomic type of background. People who are different from me are also going to shape me in ways that people who are very similar to me may not.
Absolutely. So obviously there's a lot that we can gain from being part of a community, but there's so much more that we can give. And I think you really hit on one of the main points, to go in with the mindset of how can I show God's love to the people who I'm going to interact with today? So as I walk through those doors on Sunday morning, it's not about me. It's not about who am I going to sit with or who's going to greet me first or, you know, what group should I go stand with? If I can adopt a mindset, this is not for me. This is for the Lord to work through me and to pour into the body of Christ, then I'm no longer self-conscious or worried about, you know, even what I'm wearing. I mean, at this point, it's about who is God going to put in my midst, in my path, that I can actually show his love to.
Right. Absolutely. So,
I've got a question for you. From your perspective, Matt, as a pastor, can you give us a little bit, how do you experience community? I mean, even on a Sunday morning or here at Grace, I just think as a leader of the Creekside campus, I have to assume that your experiences may be different than mine.
Sure. And I think that's, yeah, and I think that's an interesting question. And this may help, no matter who you are, fundamentally, your closest community isn't going to be 150 or 200 people. And I think this is especially true in leadership, but I think it's true of everybody. Community for me is that there are people, some of whom, in fact, most of whom go to this church, but then there are others that I've known for a long time who have the authority in my life mm-hmm. to ask difficult questions, to challenge me when they see areas of sin in my life. There are people in my life that push me toward those things. And so it requires, and I think this, again, for everybody in our culture right now, it requires a lot of intentionality.
Yeah.
Because as a general rule, everybody's very busy. Everybody has a lot to do. And so I think we have to, if you want to find community, and this is one thing that I think it's true of pastors in a different way, but I think it's true of everybody. You cannot simply wait for community to find you. And sometimes there are people that they will say, well, I went to that church or I tried that thing and I never really connected with anybody. And when I begin to ask questions, well, what did you do to find connections? The answer sometimes fundamentally comes down to, well, I went mm-hmm. and people didn't find me and connect with me. And I go, well, they should have, certainly, but relationships have to be two directions.
Right.
They go two ways. And I think that's true, you know, for those in leadership sometimes, we may even have to work extra hard to break down some of those leadership quote unquote barriers. But this is true for everybody, that being in community requires some discipline and intentionality. And much like prayer or any of these things we've talked about, it requires some work.
It does. It does. Yeah. It requires a lot of work, in
right.
fact. So we were discussing before we started recording some of the hardships of being in community, being in a healthy, well-functioning Christian community does not mean you're not going to be hurt by right. those people, or that it doesn't mean you just have instant best friends and a clique that you can walk around with and just be part of something bigger than you and more important, more special. There actually are hardships that occur and ways to grow in community that are born out of strife a little bit.
That's right. And I think, again, if we think about the church like a family, which is a biblical metaphor, marriages and family, they can be some of the most meaningful relationships in our lives, but also some of the most painful and frustrating. And I think especially in our world right now, we assume that pain means that something has always gone wrong. Mm-hmm. And on one level it does. Certainly pain is not ideal. But often what pain really is, it's a signal that something needs to change. And so those of us who are married, if you have an argument with your spouse or even a frequent argument with your spouse, a lot of people may go, well, that probably means I need a different spouse, right? I need to leave or change or whatever. What it actually might mean is that there are hard spots in your heart mm-hmm. and in your mind that you need to change, and they need to change as well, but you are changed over time by these conflicts. Both of you might be sinful. Neither of you might be sinful. It might just be that you do things differently. The same thing happens in a church, that there are ways of thinking and there are sin patterns that I have, that everybody else has. And as we interact with one another, there will inevitably be conflict.
Yeah.
There's a difference, and this is important for us to say, some of that conflict is helpful, and there is a difference between healthy conflict and an abusive sort of dynamic. And the same thing is true in families, and this is true in churches. I think we've all heard stories, especially lately, about abusive church dynamics where somebody's boundaries are constantly violated, or where the leadership is utilizing the church for selfish gain to sort of promote or protect just the platform of those in leadership, or to control people constantly or whatever. Those are abusive dynamics. But then there's what we would call the normal sort of healthy conflict that is going to come from engaging in the
right.
community.
Yeah. The whole, scripture as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Going back to healthy conflict or conflict in the context of a healthy community, I don't think we really think about how you're literally smoothing out rough right. edges. There is strife in ironing, sharpening iron. It's actually kind of like an intense metaphor.
It is.
Or simile. Or
it is a simile.
A
yeah,
simile,
you're right.
Of course.
As, because
yes.
it uses as. So yeah, no, that's a good point, because we quote that all the time. Yeah. And I don't think we really think about
it. It's not because we're just working out.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think we think about what it actually means.
Yeah.
That when two stones are banging up against each other, there's going to be, there's some pain involved mm-hmm. in that. When two people are, in a sense, clashing because there's some sort of disagreement, that's going to sharpen them. And it's also going to rub off these rough edges. But it's not a fun process. And so sometimes I am most sanctified by the people I least like. Mm. That's the way that I would put it, is like the people that I go, I would not be your friend. I mean, let's be honest. We probably all, if you're in a church of more than 10 people, there's probably people at your church that you go, I would not choose to be your friend, because we don't naturally get along. Mm-hmm. But now I'm put in a context where I kind of have to be around you. And we both worship Jesus, and we both are trying to walk with the Spirit. And I've now got to examine myself and go, why is that in me? What is that in me that says I don't want to be around that person for whom Jesus died and
right.
rose again?
That's great.
So I've been at this church at Grace for a long time. I don't even know, decades now. And there are people that I still work with and interact with that we've had some very serious and intense conflicts. And yet we've been forced to work through them. Mm-hmm. And that's changed me. And I think they would say it's changed them for the better.
Yeah. I hope that we have just kind of helped you think of some new purposes for the point of having community in your life. Like I said, there is so many. The Spirit works powerfully in a body and a group of believers, but there's a lot to be gained even individually on our parts, you know, as we continue to put ourselves in that situation, as we continue to work to connect with other people from the body of Christ. Hopefully this does serve as an encouragement to our audience. It certainly does for me. I mean, I want to be more purposeful because I want to walk with the Lord better, Matt. I want to grow in my life. I want to grow in the Spirit, and the body of believers is part of that. So next week, we have another really cool topic. Before I say what that is, we actually will have a really cool announcement next week also. So I'm just going to tease it because I want you to come back and I want you to hear it. But, and I'm not even sure if you know what I'm going to say, but we are excited to unveil something super cool. So be sure to come back next week. We will talk about spiritual gifts.
Yes.
And what that means, what that looks like in our life. So that's going to be a really interesting episode in itself, but be sure to come back, hear our special announcement. Until then, go find some community, work to connect with believers, for the sake of the kingdom of heaven and for the sake of your own spiritual life.
See you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of More Grace. Grace Bible Church exists to help people find and follow Jesus. We work tirelessly to provide content and resources to serve the body of Christ. Check out our website, www.grace-bible.org, for more. God bless.